A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached Jesus. "Master," they said to him, "we want you to do us a favor." He said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Allow us to sit, one at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." "You do not know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I must drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I must be baptized?" They replied, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I must drink, you shall drink, and with the baptism with which I must be baptized, you shall be baptized. But as for seats at my right hand or my left, these are not mine to grant. They belong to those to whom they have been allotted." When the other 10 heard this, they began to feel indignant with James and John. So Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that among the pagans, their so-called rulers lord it over them, and their great men make their authority felt. This is not to happen among you. Now anyone who wants to become great among you must be your servant, and anyone who wants to be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man himself did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord. You probably have quite a mixed reaction to the Gospel we've just heard. We know from elsewhere in the Scriptures that God doesn't have favorites. We know too in family life that among children or grandchildren, if we are favorites to one and not to another, then trouble, jealousy, envy, all those sort of things occur. And often you'll get people who say, "Of course, I'm the black sheep of my family. Nobody wanted me, nobody loved me," or whatever it is. We know that it only leads to dissension and trouble. And yet we know too that there are many times when we come asking favors. We come to the Lord, we come to his mother, we come in prayer and ask many favors. I don't always see that in the same way, and I shall come back to that. But this James and John bit came just after, or a short time after, the 12 of them had been arguing along the road which was the greatest. And of course, they were embarrassed when Jesus said what you were talking about. They didn't like to tell him, just like, you know, sometimes when you're talking and it suddenly stops because you don't want anybody to hear. So, but in the end, they told him, and he said, "A little child in front of them." And then a short time after, James and John wanting this. It's very interesting that in St. Matthew's Gospel, it said they sent their mother. It didn't say those words. It said the mother of James and John came and said, "I want these for my two sons." Is that not a very human sort of thing? We often will ask somebody to say, "Oh, well, you ask her because you get on better," or, you know, you're better at doing those things. Or we always try to work like that. Very human, how the conversation goes. But I think the difference with asking favors, maybe when we come in prayer, and James and John, is there's something horribly selfish about their approach. When we are coming with our prayers and petitions, very often, not always, but very often, it's for someone else. But there's something selfish in this argument of James and John. And can't you hear the next bit breaking out? Once Jesus said, "Yes, one of you can be on the right and one can be on the left," then they'll argue about which of them it was going to be, because one of them want to be the right side. You can hear it. You know what it's like, can't you? And what do they want? "Not now." What do you hear people chanting? "What do we want? Something. When do we want it? Now?" No. They said, "We don't want it now." No, later. Later. When you're in your glory, when all the suffering's over, when we're done with all that, when it's glorious, that's what they want. It's very, very human, all this. And that's a reminder that that's our faith, and that's ours too, very human. They don't understand, and Jesus tries to help them, and so he calls the 12 back again and gives them that unforgettable lesson that is the way it's going to be for both him and the followers. There's that suffering and the baptism that he's to be baptized with. She's speaking, of course, of his death. And contrasting it with the secular way of seeing power, which power, positions of influence, all the trappings of superiority that come from a secular way of thinking, that lust for power, expressed, I think, today in competitiveness. And the goals are to get on, and as long as you've ticked the right boxes, whether you've been Ofsted or wherever you are, in whichever bit of society you belong to, everything's the ticking of the boxes. And if you do that, then you'll get on, and if not, you'll be some punishment or it won't work. Well, the attitude of Christ is actually quite diametrically opposed to that worldly lust for power. Anyone who wants to be great, he says, among you, must be your servant. And anyone who wants to be first among you must be slave to all. But he doesn't back that up just by his words. He backs it up by his whole life and his being. He served us in three descending steps of humiliation. St. Paul captures it in Philippians when he said he's laid his glory, his divine glory, he laid aside and put on the human condition of a slave, and became as all people are. And lower still, the price of a slave, a mere slave, a ransom for many, the servant king. And that's the Lord that we follow. And it's the Lord that on World Mission Sunday is there to remind us of what we are to the world. We are servants to that world. Every Catholic has that mandate as you go out of Mass to go out and make disciples of all nations. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, to illuminate all people's lives with the light of the gospel, to reach out in love, to be of service and servants to the community. And there's an interesting word that Pope Benedict uses in his message for this year, the mission of the church, he says, is to infect all people with hope. Now, what a contrast, because what are they trying to do is to get us all into grip of fear that we'll get swine flu, or fear of terrorism, or fear of whatever it is. And he says, go out and infect people with hope. And I think there's many, many ways in which as Christian people, as Catholic people, we're being tested all around the world, tested within our own ranks, tested wherever we are. And sometimes it's very hard to hang on to that hope. But I picked it up from the Pope, infect all people with hope, to announce the gospel, to proclaim, to reach out in love to people, to be the light of Christ to the world. We reach out in hope and in love with our faith, that great triad of faith, hope, and love. And the three of them held together. St. Paul, of course, said the grace is in love, which is why it is to reach out in love, but also in hope to the world and to people around us.